Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Rock of Ages. Thank you, Ancients of Days. Be glorified. Be magnified. Have your will, Lord, this evening, and take the glory. Father, as we come before you to study your word, we ask for grace. We ask, Holy Spirit, that you interpret your word in our hands and give us the ability to comprehend your word. Lord, reveal yourself to us. Have mercy on us this evening and show yourself strong. In Jesus' name, amen. Good evening, brothers and sisters, and welcome to Fresh Manna Bible Studies. It is a joy and a pleasure to have you all again connect this evening to study the word of the Lord. I'm trusting and believing that as you listen to this word that I'm about to share with you today, God will bring you to a place of intimacy with him. Last week we spoke about being with God. Being with God. And the whole purpose of that Bible studies was to bring us to a place where we have intimacy with God. A place where we can comfortably say, I have a relationship, a functional relationship with God. Like you know, we are human beings and not human doings. God has called us first to be with him and not do things for him. But sometimes we may be deceived to characterize or define our relationship by the things we do for God. God is more interested in us being with him than the things we do for him. Whatever you do for God without being with him is a waste of time. So it is important to understand that God has called you first to be with him before you can do anything for him. Today I want to talk to you about nine things needed to be intimate with God. Nine things needed to be intimate with God. I'm going to go straight away. Number one is faith. Faith. In Hebrews chapter 11 verse 6 it says, and without faith it is impossible to please him. For whoever will draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. In Matthew 21 verse 22 he says, and whatever you ask in prayer you will receive if you have faith. In James chapter 1 verse 6 he says, but let him ask in faith with no doubting. For the one who doubts is like a wave in the sea that is tossed and driven by the wind. If you don't believe that you are going to encounter God and that your time in the presence of the Lord is worth something, you're just wasting your time. You are in a religious ritual. You know, sometimes you will feel empty. Sometimes you will feel nothing. You feel discouraged. But you must always remember that God's presence does not depend on your feelings. God's presence does not depend on your emotions. You must have faith and believe that anytime you pray, anytime you are with God, God is there like he has promised. Behold, I am with you always till the end of the age. Hallelujah. You must believe that as you are praying, as you are fasting, as you are studying the word of God, God is doing something in your life, that God is actually there. If you want a dramatic manifestation in order to believe, then you become like Thomas. You want to see before you believe. So the first thing needed to experience intimacy with God is faith. You must have faith that you're not just practicing some religious activity. You are actually spending time with the Lord. The second thing that you need in order to be intimate with God is time. Time. In Psalms 73, verse 28, it says, but for me it is good to be near God, for I have made the Lord my God, my refuge, that I may tell of your works. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 16, it says, making the best use of your time, because the days are evil. Colossians 4, 5 says, walk in wisdom towards outsiders. Listen to this. Making the best use of your time. Psalms 34, verse 8 says, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. Now, to take refuge in God. For example, when they call somebody a refugee, a refugee means he has escaped from another territory to live in another territory. You cannot, and you understand, if you are a refugee in the United States, you cannot go back to your home country. You have to stay in the United States. So when the Lord becomes your refuge, it means that is where you stay. It is not a place you visit once a week or once a year. It is where you stay. And so you understand that to be intimate with God, it takes time. And then likewise, Colossians says, it says, walk in wisdom with outsiders, making the best use of your time. There are things that are going to come to take your time away. But the Bible says you walk in wisdom. It means you have to know what is important. You cannot be intimate with God if you are always in a rush. God cannot be rushed. And God does not follow human calendar. You can't dictate the pace of how you want your relationship with God to be. You can't come to God and you prescribe, I'm going to be here 15 minutes. Until you come to that place where you're willing for God to dictate the pace of your relationship with him, you can't be intimate with him. Now picture this. If you were married and your husband said, I can only be with you 30 minutes a week, that relationship is not going to work. Because for every relationship to develop, it takes time. The amount of time invested in a relationship is going to make or break that relationship. You cannot have a drive-through mentality and expect to be intimate with God. You cannot have a drive-through mentality and expect to be intimate with God. You know how we go to drive-through, we order our food, in 5 minutes we pick it up the other way and we're out. Nobody wants to go into the restaurant and sit and spend time in the restaurant. We just want to grab our food and go. And this is the mentality we have when it comes to God. We come say a few prayers. We pray when we're going to bed. We pray when we want to eat. You know, everything is quick, quick, quick. Everything is in a rush. Our church services are quick. Our prayer meetings are quick. Our fastings are quick. And we wonder why we are not experiencing intimacy with God. After all these religious practices, you are still dry. You're still empty. You don't feel connected to God because you are in a rush. But the truth is that you need wisdom to manage your time, because people often say, I don't have time. I'm too busy. Every other thing that you're doing that is taking your time is because you made it a priority. The reason why you don't go late to work or absent from work is because your work is a priority. So until God becomes a priority, you won't see the need to create that time to be with him. Until God has a place in your schedule, God is not your priority, and you cannot be intimate with him. It takes time. Number three is patience. In Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31, it says, but they that wait, notice the word wait. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. They that wait, not they that visit. They that wait. In Psalms 46, verse 10, it says, be still and know that I am God. I'll be exalted in the nations. I'll be exalted in the earth. Romans 8:26 says, but if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it patiently. We wait for it with patience. Psalms 37 verse 7, it says, be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not yourself over the one who prospers in his way over the man who carries evil devices. He says, be still before the Lord and wait patiently. And lastly, in Psalms 40, verse 1, he says to the choir master, a psalm of David, I waited patiently for the Lord. He inclined to me and heard my prayer. I waited patiently before the Lord. Now, even when we have time, we are not patient. Something makes you restless. Something makes you want to end that prayer, to end that Bible study. The moment you want to read that Bible study, you are restless. You read one chapter, you feel like doing something else. You say, I want to pray. The moment it's 15 minutes, you feel so anxious, you want to just end the prayer. It takes patience. It takes patience to develop intimacy with God. The reason we cannot pray for long is not because we don't have time. We don't have the patience to wait in his presence. For you to hear his voice, be baptized in the Holy Spirit, receive the anointing, grow spiritually, you need patience. You need to patiently wait for the Lord. But sometimes we come to God, we raise our hands. And after 5 minutes, if we don't feel nothing, we say amen and we leave. The next day we come again, Lord, I'm here. You raise your hands, you don't get nothing, 5 minutes, you leave. It doesn't work that way. You have to be patient in the presence of the Lord. Patiently wait for him. Like I said, God calls the shots in our relationship with him. He dictates the pace. He prescribes how we should relate with him. You don't come to God and make a schedule and expect God to respect your schedule. When you go to seek a job or seek an opportunity in a company, you don't prescribe to the company how the interview should go and how long the interview should be. They tell you it is going to be at 3 p.m. It's going to be 3 hours interview. If you like it, you attend. If you don't like it, you walk away. But for many of us, we want God to do things for us. We want to have intimacy with God, but we want to prescribe to him how our relationship with him should look like, when it should be, and every other thing. But if we are going to have intimacy with God, we have to be patient. Sometimes it takes hours. Sometimes it takes days. Sometimes even weeks to have intimacy with God. There are people who tell you that for them to have an encounter with God where they saw a supernatural manifestation, it took days of prayers. It took weeks. It took a long time. But those of us who are quick, we can't get it because we are always in a rush. Number four, what we need to be intimate with God is a pure heart. Is a pure heart. In Genesis chapter 3, verse 8 to 9, it says, and they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man and said, where are you? Where are you? God was always coming in the cool of the evening to look for man. He came to have intimacy. It was a daily thing. Like the Bible says, in the cool of the evening, the word is rendered in the original translation, it shows that it was a daily thing. God was coming every evening to have intimacy with the man and the woman. They had a fellowship. So, but when their heart became corrupted, they ran away from God. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 8, it says, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. In Psalms 24, verse 3 to 4, very important scripture, says, who shall ascend the hill of the Lord? In other words, who can have access into the presence of the Lord? He gives the answers. He says, and who shall stand in the holy place? He says, he who has clean hands and a pure heart, he who does not lift up his soul to what is false and does not swear deceitfully. Now, according to Matthew chapter 5, verse 8, a pure heart does not necessarily mean a heart without, you know, earthly or human weaknesses. A pure heart means having right motives, seeking God for a right reason, It means we are not coming to God because you want something, or because you have a motive that is not right. We must seek God because we want Him and not the things He can offer. Anytime we come to God, we are coming to have intimacy with Him, but because of the things we want. It's what I call spiritual prostitution. Now, a prostitute sleeps with a man, not because he or she wants to have intimacy with a man. All the prostitute wants is the money, the gold. They want something in exchange for their time. So when we come to God, and you expect that if I'm here for 30 minutes, my life should change, my family should change, that is why all our prayers are need-oriented. Intimacy with God, like I've said before, has nothing to do with asking for things. If you were in a relationship with somebody, a friend, even a son, a wife, or whoever, and every time you guys sit, they were asking for something, I can tell you that that relationship will soon end, because it will be a one-way relationship. I'm always giving and getting nothing in return. So spiritual prostitution is when we come to God and we think that if I give God my time, if I serve God, if I go to church, if I read my Bible, then God is going to do something for me. So we are trying to exchange our time for what we can get from God. And that's what the Bible says, blessed are the pure in heart. Meaning when I come and say, God, there are things like we were praying yesterday. There are things I want to ask from you. Maybe I need money now. I need many things I can ask. But Lord, what I need today is you. I came for you. I did not come for the things you can give me. I just want to be with you. I want to know that you're pleased with me. I want to be changed. I want to be like you. That is where intimacy happens. But if all our prayers is, oh God, give me, kill my enemies, fire, all these kind of prayers we pray, which are good. But intimacy has nothing to do with asking things from God. So we must have a pure heart. If you are seeking God because you want to be like someone or show off, you won't see Him. You won't see Him. Say, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Until your motives are right, you won't see God. Number five is sincerity. James chapter 4, verse 8, it says, draw near to God, and He will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Take note of the word double-minded. Matthew chapter 7, verse 5 says, Jesus said, you hypocrites, first take the log out of your own eye, and then you will be able to see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye. Listen, God knows everything about us, and there is nothing we should hide from Him because He knows everything. Being sincere will help your relationship with God. Listen, though David and Saul both committed sin, as a matter of fact, the gravity of sins committed by David was far more than the sins of Saul. But the difference between David and Saul was that David was a sincere man and Saul was not. If you read the book of Psalms, David is so sincere when he talks to God. You know, it is like being in a relationship with someone, you know they are not who they are posting to be. The person tells you he is rich, but you know he has no money. The person tells you they are so fine, they've never committed anything, but you know the person just came out of jail. You won't want to be in a relationship with somebody who is fake like that. So when we come to God, we have to come into His presence and tell Him like it is. Don't suppress your feelings or cover up for things. God knows everything. You come to God, you want to be with, say, God, I came this afternoon, but my heart is heavy. I don't even feel like being here. I feel discouraged. You know, the things my friends have done to me has grieved my spirit. You talk to God like you're talking to a friend. Don't come cover what is going on and you think that you're just going to suppress all the things that are going on in your soul and experience intimacy. You have to come before God with a sincere heart. And the worst is when you come and start talking about other people. Like sometimes we want God to change other people. We want God to change our spouses. We want God to change our children, to change our friends, our neighbors, our colleagues. But we are not focusing on the change that we need in our own life. That's hypocrisy. We have to be sincere with God every time we come into His presence. Number six is hunger, spiritual hunger. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 66, it says, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled," or "for they shall be satisfied." In Psalm 107, verse 9, it says, "For He satisfied the longing soul, and the hungry soul He fills with good things." The hungry soul. Psalms 42, verse 1, it says, "To the choir master, a masculine of the sons of Korah, as a deer pants for flowing streams, so pants my soul for you, O God. As the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul is thirsty for you," the King James Version says. A man who is hungry will wait as long as possible to get that hunger satisfied. We all know that whenever we go to occasions, whether it's a wedding, funeral, people only start living after they have eaten. And that is why some people are wise to put food at the end, because they know people will wait as long as possible to eat before they leave. So when you are hungry for the Lord, you will wait for God. You will wait in His presence. Distance, time, weather, problems, the troubles of life, is never an excuse for a man who is hungry. When a man begins to complain, "I don't have time," or "it's too far," or "the weather wasn't good," or "I have too many troubles," it's because they're not hungry for God. A man who is hungry for God will not see any of those things as an excuse to be with God. The reason we don't create time for God is because we lack the spiritual hunger for God. We lack the spiritual hunger. No matter how busy you are, you find time to eat. You eat sometimes driving. You eat sometimes while walking, because that food is necessary because you're hungry. If you are hungry for God in the midst of your busy schedule, you will create time for God. Some people will pray while they're driving. Some people will take breaks at job, go to the bathroom and pray because they are hungry for God. Until spending time with God becomes like food, like a daily nourishment, you will never feel obligated to be with God. I pray that God will increase your spiritual hunger in the name of Jesus. Number seven, the seventh thing you need to be with God, the seventh thing you need to be with God is determination. Determination. In Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 29, he says, "But from there you will seek the Lord your God, and you will find Him if you search after Him with all your heart and with all your soul." In Proverbs chapter 8, verse 17, it says, "I love those who love me, and those who seek me diligently will find me." Hebrews 12:1 says, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely. Let us run with the endurance the race that is set before us." When you make up your mind to be intimate with God, distractions are going to come from people, from things, from circumstances. But you have to treat your time with God. You have to treat your schedule with God as an obligation. Just at the time you've said, you say, okay, I'm going to be praying every afternoon at 3 o'clock. You will notice that at 3 o'clock, that is when a friend is calling. Can we talk, please? That is when a visit comes. Just when you have scheduled the things you need to do, something will show up. Your favorite TV program is coming up. Your best friend is coming in town. Things will always come to distract your schedule with God. But you have to treat your schedule with God like an obligation. I don't think that if your friend or your best friend was coming to town, you will call up from your job and say, hey, boss, my friend just arrived this morning, so I can't come to go. I can't come to work this today. That would be a flimsical excuse which can lead to a write-off, because it shows the company you prioritize being with your friend more than coming to work. But how many of us make excuses of not praying, of not studying the Bible because of some distraction like that? We have to treat our time with God as an obligation. And that comes with determination. It comes with determination. You are going to feel tired when you've made up your mind. You say, I want to be praying every night. I want to wake up every night at 2 and pray. At night you get up, you feel so tired. But determination will make you go wash your face, will make you go make a glass of coffee, do something in order to respect that time you had with God. Determination will kill distraction. It will take away sleep. It will destroy spiritual laziness and any form of excuses that you can make when you are determined. It takes determination to spend 1 hour every day consistently with God. It takes determination to be in church every Sunday. It takes determination to attend Bible studies every Wednesday. It takes determination to join the prayer line on Fridays to pray. It takes determination to attend all weekly meetings. It takes determination to read your Bible every day. It takes determination to fast. Everything we do for God, as far as our intimacy with God is concerned, is going to require determination. Because there are days that you wake up, you don't feel like going out today, and it's a Sunday. So what do? You just say, I'm not going to church today. The next week, you go. And then 2 weeks after, you don't feel like going, you don't go. There are hours you want to pray, but your body is opposing that activity. You say, well, I'm too tired, I'll just pray tomorrow. Guess what? When that gap begins to grow wide, your intimacy with God begins to die. And then you find that you are struggling every time you come into the presence of the Lord. Every time you want to pray, you feel empty, you feel dry. It's because you've extended a very huge gap. You are not consistent in your relationship with God. It takes determination. Many things are going to come your way. Sleep is going to come. Distractions are going to come. Conflicts are going to come. The weather will be a problem. A lot of things are going to come your way as you are trying to be intimate with God. But it takes a person, it takes a man or a woman who is determined to have intimacy with God. So we have to be determined. You can't just go with the flow. If I'm going to pray at this particular hour, and somebody calls me and say, hey, can I call you back in an hour? You don't answer the call and you're sitting there and you're talking to the person. So what you just basically did is you told God to wait while you talk to your friend. You told God to wait while you handled every other business. And God does not wait for any man. God does not wait for any man. He says, they that wait upon the Lord, we are the ones who wait. God does not wait for any man. Determination. Number eight, the eighth thing that we need in order to be intimate with God is consistency. Consistency. The eighth thing that we need to spend time with God, to be intimate with God, is consistency. in Matthew chapter 6, verse 11. He says, give us this day our daily bread. Now, if God is giving us our bread daily, it means we have to come to Him daily. You can't come to God on Monday and expect Him to give you your bread on Monday, the bread that you need Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, all the way to Sunday, on Monday. He says, give us our daily bread. It means you have to be present daily to get the daily bread. In Luke 9, verse 23 says, and He said to them, if any man will come after Me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily. Notice the word daily, and follow Me. It's not a weekly thing. It's not a bi-weekly thing. It's not a monthly thing. Intimacy with God is a daily affair. Hallelujah. It's a daily affair. In Acts 2:46, it says, but they continued daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house. They did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. The early church experienced the miracles that we read about in the Acts of Apostles because they had a daily schedule with God. Daily. Their prayer was daily. Their fellowship was daily. Yet in our time, we have church few days a week and it's still too much for some people. And yet they want to experience intimacy with God. We even have church on the conference call like we're doing right now. Some people cannot still find time to attend. And yet, they expect intimacy with God. In Psalm 68, verse 19, it says, blessed be the Lord, who daily loaded us with benefits, even the God of our salvation. So God loads us daily with benefits. So every day you come to God, there is a benefit that God is downloading into your spirit. So God has made the blessings, the benefits available. But you have to come to Him daily in order to download those benefits into your spirit. You can't get them all in a day. You have to be there daily. In Psalms 86, verse 3, it says, be merciful unto Me, O Lord, for I cry unto Thee daily. I cry unto Thee daily. Not weekly, not monthly. I cry unto Thee daily. You cannot have intimacy with God if you are not consistent. You have to do whatever you are doing to be intimate with God on a daily basis. Bible studies have to be done on a daily basis. Your prayer life on a daily basis. Whatever you need to do has to be on a daily basis. A person who prays 30 minutes every day and read one chapter of the Bible every day is better than someone who prays every Monday and read one book of the Bible every Monday. This person prays the whole day on Monday, 24 hours, and read one chapter, one book of Bible, maybe Matthew, read the whole book of Matthew, but doesn't pray Tuesday, doesn't pray Wednesday, doesn't pray Thursday. He comes again only on Monday. The person who is able to spend 30 minutes every day and read just one chapter every day is better than that Monday person. I want you to picture it in a practical way. If you had a friend that you only saw one time a month, and you had another friend that you saw every day for 1 hour, who do you think you're going to be closer to? I'm very sure the one you see every day. For some of us, the things of God are still very strange because we lack consistency to develop intimacy with God. You cannot keep skipping prayer. You're skipping Bible studies. You're skipping church service. You're skipping fasting. You're skipping every spiritual activity that you need to do. Even the things you've determined to do by yourself, you keep skipping. And yet, you want to experience intimacy with God. If you are going to experience intimacy with God, you need consistency. If you are designed to pray for 15 minutes a day, maintain that 15 minutes on a daily basis. If you are designed to read one chapter of the Bible a day, read that one chapter every day without fail. Consistency brings easy growth than scattered efforts here and there. You fast in January. You stay like 3 months again before you think about fasting. You read 10 books of the Bible in January. Then you come again in March. Like I'm preaching now, some of us will hear this message and say, I'm going to do better. This week coming, you act like you're serious. You'll be reading the scriptures, but the following week, you fall back into your own ways. Consistency is required if you are going to be intimate with God. Consistency is required. David says, I seek you daily. He said, daily will I seek you. Jesus Christ, when the Pharisees came to arrest him, he says, I was in the temple with you daily. Not weekly. If you look at Christians who are not consistent in not even talking about their personal time with God, because nobody can really know your personal time with God, because nobody comes to monitor what you do in your privacy. But we can judge your intimacy with God based on how you relate with people, based on how you relate with the church. When you see somebody who is consistent in being absent, they come today, 2 weeks they don't come. They show up late every Sunday. They indicate to do something, they never do it. It is an indication that even in their private life with God, the same thing is going on. But God is calling us to be consistent. To be consistent. As we read, God was coming to the garden every evening in the cool of the day, the Bible says, to have intimacy with Adam and Eve. It was a daily thing. Their fellowship was daily. It wasn't weekly. It wasn't monthly. It was daily. And number nine, as we close, the ninth thing you need to be intimate with God is love. The ninth thing you need to be intimate with God is love. Now, when we talk about love, it is love that drives a man in a relationship. If two people love themselves, whether rain or sun, whether winter or summer, they will stick together. They will fight through. But when the love is absent, every little conflict can split them apart. We must go beyond, like I said before, the level of just wanting things from God and looking at God like an ATM machine or like a grocery store or like a hospital or like a restaurant. We must come to a place where we love God. You know, some couple of months ago, I preached a message about gold diggers in the church. A lot of us are gold diggers. We come to God just because of the things we want. It's not because we love God. When a man or a woman is in a relationship with another person, just because of what they can get, we call them gold diggers. They don't love the man, but they want the man because of his money. They don't love the woman, but they want the woman because of the woman's career, what the woman can offer in the relationship. So that is why they are going after the man. A lot of us cannot experience intimacy with God, because the only reason why we are coming to God is not because we love him. It's because we are coming because of the things we can get from him. He said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all your heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. Deuteronomy chapter 6 verse 5. We must come to a place where It is our love for God that is driving us. When you love somebody, you will go to any length to be with that person. Sometimes we drive for miles. We drive for hours to go attend the baby shower of a friend, to attend the wedding of a friend, to attend the graduation of a friend. It's because we love them. Even though you're getting nothing in return, but you go because you want to show your love. When you truly love God, sometimes regardless of how you feel, you want to be there. Because your love for God is stronger than your weakness. Your love for God is stronger than your problems. Your love for God is stronger than your inconvenience. You come because you love Him. And once you come with that attitude before the Lord, there are things you will not even ask for that God will give to you. The Bible says Solomon loved the Lord his God with all his heart. And that is why he was able to offer 1,000 sacrifices to the Lord. And when God asked Solomon, "What can I do for you?" Solomon said, "Give me wisdom so I can govern these great people you've given to me." And God said, "Because you did not ask for the death of your enemies or for riches, I will give you riches as such that no king like you will ever exist." Solomon came to God with a heart full of love. He didn't come to get. He came to love the Lord. So, brothers and sisters, if we are going to experience intimacy with God, let us learn to love the Lord. I pray that God will fill your heart with His love, that your activities, your services to the Lord will be driven by love and not by the things you want from God. I believe that as you hear this message today, God will bring you to a place where you can experience intimacy with Him. May you begin to have spiritual encounters with God. May your ears be open. May your eyes be open. May you develop a walking, talking relationship with the Lord. In the name of Jesus. Father, we give you praise and glory. We magnify your name. We glorify your name. Be thou exalted, my Father. Be thou exalted, Rock of Ages. Take all the glory, take all the adoration, for you alone are God, in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen.